Well, hang on, brother and daughter is coming tonight. Praise the Lord. Let me just give a humorous one. I enjoyed the good Bible study this morning. I enjoyed the Taiwanese young girl that gave her straight, simple answer. Yes. And when he was given that, it reminded me, we were in Lay, and Gerald Buston wanted to take a holiday, and we were down there filling in for him in East Taraka, Lay. And one day I was going to go into town, and I saw this old white fella. He was bleeding and hobbling and trying to walk on the road, and I stopped and I said, "You need help?" He said, "Oh, please." I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "The hospital." So I said, "Well, get in, I'll take you." So we start going and find out he's from Australia. He said, I had a bad marriage in Australia, and I heard that the Asian women were good wives. So he said, I headed north. He said, I came to New Guinea. He said, I was headed for China or Japan. But he said, I came to New Guinea and I met this beautiful young girl. And he said, we had a good marriage for a number of years, but he said, something's happened. He said, I think she's been slipping around taking judo lessons on me. He said, she worked me over. And the part that just tickled me, he said, I just didn't get far enough north. So he didn't get a yes wife. Well, Lord, help us to be yes, sir, servants of Jesus. Serve him as the host above. You know, I can't be an angel, but I can serve him with all I am, just as much as the angels above. Glory to God. I can enjoy serving him just as much as they serve him. Right. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Yes.
I invite you to turn to a verse in Proverbs. Amen. Ballington Booth wrote those good words, that song, "The cross is not greater than his grace." Last verse, "His will I have joy in fulfilling."
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. If I could encourage the young people, there's no better, no more fuller, satisfying work, a career in life than just right in the center of God's will. Find the center of his will, and then that's where you serve him. Amen.
Oops.
Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, familiar verse. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep. You keep. Whose heart? Your heart. Matthew chapter 24. They asked Jesus, what's the signs of his coming? Verse 4 is the first thing Jesus said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Keep your heart with all diligence. Let no man deceive you. The songs that Brother Sam led us in, the choruses at the beginning, couldn't have fit better with where we're trying to go here this afternoon. I am determined. I will serve the Lord. I'd rather walk with Jesus alone, and then that verse ends, than stray from the pathway. Fail to go through. I'm preaching to you this afternoon on deception. And one of the meanings is to be led astray. So Lord, help us here today. Heavenly Father, we do bow before you. We realize we're nothing in ourselves, and yet we know that it was you that called us, and we can only fulfill that calling as we endeavor to mind you. And as we endeavor to mind you this afternoon, I pray the Holy Spirit will accomplish the purpose of this hour. We pray for every heart. Oh, we'd like to just embrace every young people that's here today. We pray that you just establish them until they get it all settled to go with God. I pray for every one of us that we keep our heart with all diligence. It's no day to be goofing off and diddling around. I pray you help us today and help us in this hour. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Bible speaks particularly of three different people that deceives us. One, the devil. He's involved in all of it, but he's the great deceiver. Secondly, others. The devil uses other people to lead us astray. It can, you maybe you say in the sensual sense, but that's true, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. With things we believe, with practices we do, and then the third one the Bible speaks about is deceiving ourselves. Most of it's about that. When you're your own worst enemy. Every one of us can make it through to heaven. By God's grace, I trust we will. But we're going to have to be honest with ourselves and honest with God. We're going to make it. In Matthew chapter 24, we read there, "Take heed that no man deceive you." That's the first thing Jesus said. Second one is in verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Verse 11, "Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Verse 23, "Then if any man say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders." That's no proof. "Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Four times here. It's such a prevalent mindset of the last days. Jesus cited it perhaps as the most observable sign. Paul calls it the great falling away, or the apostasia, the falling away from faith. Oh, you say no. Well, now wait. That's out there. Yeah, we always thought all of these signs are going to be out there. It's going to be those other churches, those other people. That's who's going to fulfill these last day things. Not 100 years ago or 1,000 miles away. recently in a certain occasion with a lot of people I grew up with. Still saved and sanctified. Never tell it on the outside from the difference of a Methodist or Nazarene. Huh? Supposed to be them people out there. Still saved and sanctified. Somebody's been talking to themselves. You say, preacher, you're getting too pointed. Well, I don't want to get too pointed, but I want to get pointed enough that we understand I had better talk to myself right. I'd better be around the people that have the presence of God. I'd better be around the instruction of the Bible. I'd better be around right thinking, because it's going to influence me. Webster says, deception, to mislead the mind. Well, we know that's always where the battleground is. That's where to cause to err, to cause to believe what is false or disbelieve what is true. Now, that's what the devil's always about. Prove God wrong, prove him right. What is truth? Well, basically God. Who God is and what God says. That's what truth is. So that's who the devil's always against. Trying to make the false. Well, that's when we used to believe the Bible was literal. You mean we still don't? Well, that's what the old timers said, but we live in a new day. Do we really? What part of the Bible has changed? What part of God has changed? Now, I know there are things that happen, but the principles of God's Word we're throwing out, but it's not because God has changed or His Word has changed. That's what leads us to deception. God's word is always right. Amen. He said, thy word is truth. Amen. Praise God. Said, thy word is life. Amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I like what Brother Agin said. If God didn't know what he believed, if God didn't mean what he said, who am I to say what God did mean? I better let what God says stand. Noah built an ark. Why? Well, says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, he was moved. So convinced that he was moved into action to do something about it by fear. Because God said so. Going to rain. What rain? What scientists can prove it's going to rain? Never rained before. Yeah, but God said so. Well, why build it 450 foot long? God said so. Huh. Really? God said so. There's some God says so's in here. Let me just mention one. Not the wearing of gold, pearls, jewelry. I don't remember what I was preaching on, but I mentioned that, mentioned 1 Timothy 2, mentioned 1 Peter 3, and I'm not sure if I mentioned other scriptures. And after the service, this lady comes up to me, and she was displaying some of those things. She said, "What were those scriptures again?" Well, I quoted them to her again. Here was her response. God must not want me to go to heaven very bad. The reflection was upon God, not her. Deception. The truth is, how bad do you want to go to heaven? She's been talking to herself. You remember the deception of the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3? Oh, we're rich. We're increased. We've got more than we've ever had, and it's just rolling in. Why? We've got so much. We have need of nothing. Boy, that's a rare class. Need of nothing. Well, now that's what they said about themselves. But what did Jesus say? Oh, wretched and miserable, poor, blind, naked. Somebody was off. And it wasn't Jesus. He's truth. How could they get so far from what Jesus said about them? How could you still be a church, a Christian, and bear His name and be so far different from what He says? I can tell you how. Ignoring the Holy Spirit and justifying your excuses. That's how they got there. Oh, the Holy Spirit is faithful, was faithful to them just like He is anyone.
I believe it.
They didn't just come up with those conclusions and God said, let them go. No, the Holy Spirit was there. But they wouldn't listen. And that's why Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Not only these ears, but that ear down in the heart, can we hear down in the heart what the Spirit is trying to tell us? Amen. Self-declarations didn't change truth, but it sure changed them. And it'll change us. It's important. It's important, you know, the scripture there, Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because the value system and the belief system that you put in place is going to be the one whether you make it or don't make it. It's the difference in heaven or in hell, and it depends what you're telling yourself. God help us with fear and trembling to establish our value system. It's not how pretty I look and how dazzling I look and how wonderful I can sing or speak and all of these other, and that proves it all. Oh, no. You say, preacher, have you been tied up with a polecat? No, I've been burdened down. That's where I've been. Because some that are too close and yet justifying away everything. Little book of Obadiah. You know, the difference in the minor prophets and major prophets is not one more inspired. It's all God's word, equally. Just the size of their prophecies that were recorded. Obadiah spoke of Edom, of course, Esau. Spoke to him as a nation. This was written in the very year that Jerusalem fell to Babylon and carried away. But he said, verse 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. They cuddled a proud heart. And by cuddling a proud heart, they let that direct the way they thought, and it deceived them. They were thinking wrong and thought they were right. You know, that's what you are when you're deceived. It doesn't say that Adam was beguiled, totally hoodwinked. Eve was beguiled. Adam succumbed. Pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. We're not going to get too big that God can't talk to us. We're not going to become so great an authority that God has to bow down to what I say. Never. Pride is the opposite of humility. Humility is the spirit of Christ. It's the spirit of the saints. Pride, boasting ourselves, our accomplishments, what we have, what we whatevers. That's not giving the glory to God. It says there that in the day that Jerusalem fell, they cheered. Yay for the Babylonians. They've overcome. They've thrown down Jerusalem. Yay. That's our cousins. He said, and then when some of the men of Judah were about to escape, they'd go and hold them, say, here, Babylonians, here's one. And then after they got Israel taken care of and the Babylonians go in to spoil, they went in and laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Oh, how far you can go and still think you're right. How far you can go and I'm wonderful. Let me go to another scripture found in Isaiah 47. This is the written about the deception of the Babylonians. Now you know why God raised up the Babylonians. He called them his servants to accomplish his mission. Because his people had become idolaters. And God was going to raised up Babylon for a purpose to bring judgment on his people to destroy the beautiful, let me say again, the beautiful temple of Solomon, because it had become their house and a house of idols. God had had enough. You know, we can, when God is merciful and reaching out and sending more prophets, we can just do our thing and think we're it. But when God says, they're not listening, I'm going to do something, you're in trouble. here of Babylon. They were raised up for a purpose. Here's what he said in verse 8 to the daughters of Babylon. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures. Given to pleasures. You know, that's one of the signs of the last day. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Given to pleasures. Oh, I heard a guy getting on the airplane, and this other guy was yelling at his buddy, "Remember, have fun. That's the important thing." And that's the way a lot of people live, just to have fun. Well, better move on, hadn't I? But they're given to pleasures, just what feels good. That dwellest carelessly. Carelessly. Now that's God's viewpoint. They think they're being wonderful. They think how cute I am, how charming I am. But God says they're dwelling carelessly. It sayest in thine heart, I am none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. I'm not going to pay a consequence for my choices. I can have my fun. I can do what I want. No consequence. That's what they're telling themselves. That's how they're deceiving themselves. Verse 10, for thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Establish their own lifestyle. Thou hast said, none seeth me. I've done no wrong. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. Remember, we're talking about deception. Their knowledge, their wisdom hath perverted them. Why is that? Because they're thinking the wrong way. Telling themselves the wrong thing. They had the wrong knowledge and they had the wrong wisdom. They said it was wisdom. They said it was knowledge. But it was wrong. And it perverted them. Thou hast said in thine heart, I am none else beside me. The illusion of self-deception. None seeth me, not honest with themselves. You know, there's nothing we do that's not observed. I mean, we know that. Usually there's some people, but even if nobody does, God knows. God knows. What do we mean? None seeth me. God sees everything. If we're wanting to go to heaven, we're going to stand before a holy God. What do you mean that no one seeth me? If God sees it, that's most important. I've got to satisfy a holy God to make heaven my home. But oh, I can tell myself. Nobody knows. So I'm okay. Ooh. Perverted thee. Tell yourself till you've perverted your own mind, twisted and concocted yourself. You know, it's like a level. I remember when I was here the first time, and that year, the evangelist had the youth classes too. You remember that, Brother Todd? And I remember right over here, and I brought a level with me, 4-foot level. Now, a cheap level is set. A good level has 4 little screws around that level. You can adjust it. Now, the idea is adjust it to something you know is right and adjust your level so you know you have a right level. You're adjusting it to a standard of level or truth. But if you are so determined you got that door in the right way and that level is lying, you can loosen those four little screws. You can cock, pervert that bubble to where that bubble will say it's right on. See, I proved it. Look here. Well, you know how to prove a level is if you turn it two ways and if they say the same thing. Now, a cockeyed level will not prove it both ways. But if I'm determined, I've got her set. Manipulation of our own faith is a danger. We're leading ourselves to deception. That's what he said. Thou hast said in thine heart, I am. Come to the place, there's none beside me. I'm accountable only to myself. No one else, I'm not accountable to anyone else. It doesn't matter what anybody else says or thinks or believes or whatever. I am, there's no one else. So when we get it so set, then God can't do nothing about it. You think? Verse 11. Therefore, because you've come up to your wonderful conclusions, therefore shall evil come upon... No. We live in pleasure. We're living just like we want it. The clock is going to stop right here. We're not going to get older. We're not going to get poorer. We're just going to stop right here and enjoy it hereafter. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. Mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. Desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Verse 13, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly pronosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. That's how much help they'll be. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. Thus saith thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. There's a cost of deceiving yourself. Well, friends, we can be among the blessed. You say, preacher, you need to go preach to this, to that crowd you was talking about. You're right. But you know what? They won't have me. We have to preach truth to those that are holding truth, lest they become those who fall away too. Remember the story, an example of what we're talking about here. Belshazzar was called in, you know, and actually it was the night that they fell to the Medes and Persians, and he identified the handwriting on the wall. He goes back and talking about his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar and how that Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't submit to God, but how that God humbled him and how that he honored God in these afterwards. And he says to Belshazzar the king, you've known all this. What you do with your knowledge is up to you. You've known it all. And yet your pride is leading you to rebel against God. And therefore God has numbered your kingdom. Because he knew it. He knew it, but he wouldn't admit to it. It didn't say what he wanted it to say, so he was going to change it. It didn't change it. It changed him. That night, he was slain. He went further than Nebuchadnezzar did. As far as we know, at least from Bible record, that was the first time and God held him accountable that he took the vessels, the holy vessels dedicated to God that had been carried away to Babylon that they used in a celebration to the gods of Babylon. You know what? God took note of that. There's times when God is merciful. There are times when our decisions can tip the balance of judgment. And it did that night. And he went out into a godless eternity. Well, friends, may this not be true of us. I preach as a warning. I preach to encourage you. The Lord would temper the steel in our spiritual backbone. Amen. I'm going through. I'll pay the price. Whatever others do. That's becoming maybe a more of a newer meaning today than it has been before. I trust we'll be price payers. We'll be true to Him. Till God, you know, He said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's a reason God was counting on Job. God knew how settled he had it in his heart. Can God count on us? God help us. Revival is always God's answer for His people. It's God's answer in the last days. A true revival of God is still being honest with God and honest with ourselves. The dishonesty with ourselves is what's leading to the great falling away. Still Christian, still holiness, still saved and sanctified, and getting further and further. I trust we'll be, as we mentioned last night about Asa, they whole with their sought God, seek God with their whole heart. Strong says that seek there with a sought seek God with their whole heart means to follow. To pursue. It's not that they just prayed, but to pursue and see God's face and follow Him until He comes. Amen. Well, God wants every one of us to make it through. I'm glad to walk with fellow pilgrims along this road to the celestial city. Amen. There were sometimes old pilgrim had to walk it alone. There's some of you out there, maybe out, if we knew exactly where you came from, there's some people that have very little spiritual encouragement in their lives. If you're one of those, I just pray you can soak up camp meeting and God can just bless you. Amen. I remember after I'd had an accident and out of church for months. I mean, the first time I was able to go back to church, that preacher could not have preached a bad message. I was ready to shout and hoop and holler. I don't care what he said. I was glad to be at church. Well, I trust you'll just enjoy camp meeting. Amen. I preach this so that we don't go down that way. Just pursue after God. Like again, the songs Brother Lyons led us in were so right. Amen. Going through, I'm going to pay the price. Whatever others do, got it settled. Going with God. Penny Ford wrote that song, one of my favorites. Whatever the cost, whatever the loss, whatever the cross, I'm going through. Whatever men say, whoever may stray, I'm going through. For I settled it one day, any price I would pay. For I've determined in my heart I'm going through, something like that. Well, praise God. Amen. You're dismissed. Now let's stand and have prayer. I'm not going to turn you out like you opened the gate to the cattle to go to dinner. Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we preach the burden of our heart. Now we pray you bless our dear friends. Pray that you just encourage our hearts, settle it down, drive our stakes deeper into the rock. Give us a stronger anchor, oh God, we pray. Help us to be true and faithful to you in this our day. And though there may be others that are following the compromised way, help us to stand tall, help us to stand true, help us to be kind, and help us to do it joyfully. I pray for every young and old and in between. May we be your people in this our day. Guide and direct us on. Lead us to the service tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you today.